Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Trump's lost Iran war. An epic disaster or operation of epic fury? Which one is it? A memorandum of understanding was signed by America and Iran this week. Strictly speaking, it achieved just about nothing. Key issues are to be discussed for the next 60 days and perhaps longer than that. Iranian state television displayed a banner reading, "The USA was forced to sign an agreement to end the war." Yet Iran is not alone with that assessment, and that for good reason. Trump's and Netanyahu's attacks on Iran were named officially Operation Epic Fury. Now, many critics called it Operation Epic Disaster. Were they right? The Associated Press wrote on June 14, "The deal likely returns the region to a status that existed before the war, but with thousands of people dead, and Iran wielding a new source of negotiating pressure with its ability to influence shipping in the Strait. Of the stated targets by the US and Israel when they launched the war on February 28, with strikes that killed Iran's supreme leader, Tehran still has a missile program, support for armed proxies in the region like Hezbollah, and a stockpile of highly enriched uranium for its nuclear program. The central question of Iran's nuclear program remains. Iran has 40.9 kilograms, or 972 pounds, of uranium that is enriched up to 60% purity, a short technical step from weapons-grade levels of 90%, according to the International Atomic Energy Agency, but Iran has long maintained its nuclear program is peaceful." So, Trump's statement that in this new deal, Iran has agreed not to build a nuclear weapon is meaningless, because Iran has pronounced that position long before the war ever started, claiming its nuclear program was peaceful, which is, of course, highly doubtful. But The Guardian then continued, stating on June 14, "By any assessment, the fate of the Iran's nuclear program, a key rationale given by Trump for the war on Iran, has not been resolved in the latest agreement. The president repeated on Sunday his promise that Iran will never have a nuclear weapon, but senior Pakistani officials told the Associated Press that nuclear talks would continue over the next 60 days, and possibly longer than that. Another unresolved question is the Strait of Hormuz. The Wall Street Journal wrote on June 15, "President Trump is touting his latest ceasefire deal with Iran as peace in our time, but the world is more likely to see it as a strategic retreat short of achieving his war aims. To reopen the Strait of Hormuz, Mr. Trump is accepting Iran's promises merely to negotiate over its nuclear program." The Daily Mail wrote on June 15, "Iran has said it will continue to charge fees for vessels passing through the Strait of Hormuz after a last-minute amendment to its ceasefire deal with the United States. Over the next 60 days, Tehran will guarantee free passage through the strait, but after the ceasefire extension period is over, ships will be required to pay tolls to cover security, navigation, environmental, and insurance services." The 11th hour change comes despite US President Donald Trump stating the vital waterway would remain permanently toll-free. Now, Trump subsequently stated that that he was not surprised about Iran's position regarding the Strait of Hormuz. But Trump's declared goal of Iran's regime change has not been reached either. And now, Trump even completely falsely claims that he never advocated regime change. So Die Welt wrote on June 16. Reza Pahlavi, the son of the last Shah, has spoken out against any agreement with Iran that leaves the current leadership in Tehran in power. An agreement with this regime will fail, and we will have to bear the consequences, he said. After the regime killed 40,000 Iranians, an agreement would be not only morally unacceptable, but also a serious strategic mistake, he said. The Iranian people will not accept it. Tehran would never make a genuine peace, just as the government had never made peace with its own citizens, he said. And we agree with him. On June 16, Focus wrote, "The world is noting with great astonishment that the superpower United States of America, despite its overwhelming military strength and presence in the Gulf region, is being forced to negotiate with Iran merely on a return of the pre-war status quo in the Strait of Hormuz. This is a slap in the face for the United States as a global superpower and undermines its status as a guarantor of freedom of navigation. The Iran conflict has left the United States in a weaker position than at the start of the conflict. While the Iran conflict demonstrated the extraordinary military strength of the United States, it simultaneously revealed its inability to translate that strength into anything even remotely resembling a strategic victory over Iran. U.S. foreign policy under Trump amounts to superpower suicide." And we will see throughout this program that America is indeed committing national suicide. Then there was another U-turn by Trump. Daily Mail wrote on June 17. "In a stunning departure from decades of established U.S. foreign policy, President Donald Trump reveals that a forthcoming peace agreement with Iran will likely allow the regime to retain its conventional ballistic missiles. Standing before reporters at the G7 meeting in France, the president argues that a complete ban is unrealistic because they gotta have some. Missiles aren't the problem. They hurt a little location, but they don't blow up the planet. For generations, every American administration has maintained a strict red line against Iran's ballistic missile capabilities. Trump broke not only with his predecessors, but with his own historical stance by conceding that Iran would likely retain a missile arsenal. His sudden concession that Iran has to have them isn't just a break from establishment bipartisan policy, it's a U-turn on its own first-term record." So now listen to this commentary by Michael Posner, who wrote the following on June 16 in his newsletter. "There is no shortage of losers in this diplomatic debacle. America, Israel, Lebanon, the Gulf states, the West in general. But the brave, betrayed Persians are surely the biggest losers. Despite all the bold promises, no one came to liberate them. Despite repeated assurances that help was on the way, that this time the West was serious about toppling the mullahs, the White Knights were a no-show. On the contrary, the Persians have been abandoned. Yet again, for the foreseeable future, the world's most evil regime will remain securely in place and in de facto control of the Strait of Hormuz. The enriched uranium will stay in Iran. Assurances to Trump notwithstanding, the chance that Iran won't immediately press the restart button on building the bomb is zero. The factories that manufacture ballistic missile arsenals are being rebuilt as we speak, providing the future shield for Iran's nuclear program. The billions of dollars in sanctioned and frozen Iranian bank assets will be gradually released, financing proxy militias in Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, and Gaza. Donald Trump blinked. Too eager to make a deal, any deal. Trump capitulated. America has been humiliated, exposed as a paper tiger. Donald Trump never took the time to justify the war to Americans. Now listen to this statement. The fighting spirit is no longer there, something which the Bible clearly prophesies. The time will come when the trumpets will be blown to go out to war and nobody will follow the lead. They don't want to fight anymore. The article concludes, the war has also driven a spike through the heart of the relationship between Washington and Jerusalem. And so let's talk about this spike in relationship. The Jerusalem Post wrote on June 15. National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir said in an ex-Twitter post that Israel is not bound to U.S. President Donald Trump's U.S.-Iran ceasefire agreement. Israel is not subject to the United States, and we are an independent and sovereign nation, he said. Other Israeli officials took to X on Monday to state their positions, including Yair Golan, leader of the Democrats, who criticized Netanyahu for capitulating to a deal he deemed unsatisfactory. Trump signs an agreement that funnels billions to the Ayatollah's regime, leaving the nuclear infrastructure intact, preserves the ballistic threat as is, and throws a lifeline to a murderous regime in Tehran, he said in harsh criticism of the agreement. Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich also posted an X saying, the agreement with Iran is bad for Israel and for the entire free world, period. He also implied that Israel will have to continue to carry out the war against Iran itself in order to ensure that Iran does not achieve nuclear weapons. And so the Washington Post added on June 15, Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz stated that Israeli troops will stay indefinitely in Lebanon and the Gaza Strip. Now, that's one of the conditions of Iran saying, no, they have to leave, otherwise the peace deal is off. Israel says, no, we are not going to leave. Goes on to say, Amit Segal, a influential right-wing television analyst close to the Prime Minister, Netanyahu, simply offered a quote attributed to Henry Kissinger per William Buckley Jr. It may be dangerous to the American enemy, but to be America's friend is fatal. Trump might have lost Israel as America's closest ally, and that is something the Bible also clearly prophesies is going to happen. America will ultimately stand there all alone, with no friends whatsoever. All alone. And so Bild Online wrote on June 18, when it comes to the Iran deal, nothing remains but hot air, and worse still, a political defeat for the United States. A political disaster that Trump is now selling as a victory. All in all, it is hard to claim that the United States and Israel have benefited much from this venture. The lifting of sanctions is supposed to happen immediately, meaning billions would flow straight into the regime's coffers. A guarantee of survival for the Islamic Republic. It is utterly insane when you consider that the war was started with the aim of ousting the regime. And so, the Telegraph wrote an article on June 18 with the following headline. How Trump's Operation Epic Disaster Turned the World Against America. Not more needs to be said. America has lost this war big time, and it's all alone. All alone. If you want to follow through with what is happening in the world in the light of biblical prophecy, then I would encourage you to read regularly our weekly update. And it has a long section in there on current events. And you can find it on our website, and you can ask for a free copy via email. Now, I realize that some of you will probably be tempted to make some stupid comments to this program. Like Mr. Trump said, if anybody agrees with his politics on Iran, he's either stupid or a bad person. Well, if the comments you are willing to make are becoming too personal, then I guarantee you they will be deleted, so don't even bother. But I thank you for your attention. Until next time, this is Norbert Lenk for the Standing Watch program.